Bibles and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 26. I had planned, and actually had even by the time we had picked out the hymns, I had planned on, to be honest, with preaching on they shall call him, his name shall be called Wonderful. And that's really where I thought I was supposed to go, and I just couldn't get any peace about it. And I prayed, Lord, I don't know why, but the night this one phrase kept coming back to my heart while I was praying about this message tonight. I don't know why. And it was the phrase, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And that comes out of Matthew 26. So I pray, I want you to turn to Matthew 26, verse number 20, if you will. This sounds like a message that should be being preached during Easter time, not Christmas time. That's the honest goodness truth. But this was the phrase that kept coming back to me, and so this was, I felt like what I was supposed to prepare for this evening. Matthew chapter 26, verse 20. We're at the last night of Christ's life, and he's meeting with the disciples, and they're around the table. And we come to verse number 20 of Matthew 26, and it says, Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily or truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now I've often wondered when they said that, I mean, don't they know? It said, Lord, is it I? And he answered and he said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. See, it says that they were very sorrowful. Look at verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, they that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. I don't sure why we're supposed to have this tonight, but then I'm going to talk on this topic, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the mirror. Lord, help us not to walk away being forgetful hearers, but doers of the word, not having looked at ourselves and walked away forgetting what we saw. Lord, I'm not sure why we're supposed to preach this message tonight, but Lord, I pray that you'll give us what we need, each of us. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to move. We'll give you the praise for what you do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go back to our passage here. Verse 22, verse 21 says, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were all exceeding sorrowful. That means they were very distressed over what Jesus said. They were distressed, kind of confused. Why is he saying what he said? And he said, and began every one of them to say unto him, look at verse 22, saying to him, Lord, is it I? He said, Lord, that means supreme controller. Lord, is it I? I mean, you, Lord, the supreme controller who knows all, you know who we are. It couldn't be me, could it? I wouldn't do something like that, would I? And he answered, and he talked, of course, he pointed out Judas, so to speak. Verse 25, when Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Couldn't call him Lord. Called him Rabbi. It couldn't be me, could it? I think he was trying to avoid suspicion. Because it says, he that did with his hand with me in a dish, the same shall betray me. And Judas said, well, it's not me, is it? He said unto him, thou hast said. If you go to verse 30, once again it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me. All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep, and the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 33, Peter answered and said, oh no, though all men be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Verse 35, again, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. Mark 14, 31, you don't need to turn to it, says, but he spake the more vehemently. Peter said, absolutely, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. I will deny you in anything. Likewise also said they all, as Mark said. Matthew 26, look at verse 41. They made their way out to the garden. And you probably remember this little bit of conversation. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They mean well. You know what? I think they meant what they said. I'm not so sure Judas did. But I think Peter and the rest of the disciples meant what they said. Lord, it couldn't be me, could it? You know, we think we have everything under control, but often we're relying on our flesh to do the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit's weak. Look at verse 55 in Matthew 26, later in the garden. It says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes who were coming to arrest him, are you come out against the thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Well, look at this. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. We'll never deny you. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58. Watch this. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Luke says it this way. Luke 22:20 says, likewise also the cup after sup, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him, this is the way its account is, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. In other words, this is the way God planned it all. But woe unto that man by whom it is betrayed. Verse 23, Luke 22:23 says this, and they began to inquire among themselves, to jointly discuss which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife, Luke 22:24, strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. So the fact is, he says, somebody is going to betray me. And he said, well, I wonder who in the world that's going to be. Certainly not I. Wonder who could be. Well, maybe it's you. Well, because I wouldn't do that. And then he started to argue who's the greatest. Well, I'm a loyal follower of Jesus. Don't look at me. It must be one of you other guys, not me. I'm strong in my faith. I wonder who could be. I wonder who it is over here. It goes on, verse 31, and says, Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I think we're starting to get a picture here. John says a little bit differently. John 13:21 says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. That word means, who in the world could be he be talking about? Couldn't be any of us, could it? How could it be that? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast, of course that was John, saith unto him, Lord,
who is it?
Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. He says, the one that I serve. Who is it? It's going to be one of those folks that I serve. God serves all of us. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. We'll just look at a couple things here this evening. The question is, Lord, is it I? Is it somebody here is going to betray me? Somebody here is going to run away. Somebody's going to feel the pressure and slip out of the picture. The question is, Lord, is it I? You know, it's very, very easy for us to be unable to see the weakness in our own hearts. We can be quick to accuse others of their weaknesses and yet unable to see our own frailties. The question is, Lord, is it I? The answer is, it's all of us. It's all of us. The question is, Lord, is it I? Second thing I want you to see here. I'm the greatest. I say that facetiously. Luke 22, verse 23. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. Who in the world would do this? Somebody's going to betray me. What? Where are your disciples? I mean, Lord, is it I? I mean, it couldn't be I. It couldn't be me. You know me. I wouldn't do such a thing. I'd stand before you. I'd stand right by your side. Prison, death itself. Famous last words. I'm strong. Famous last words. I'm strong. Parents, let me say this to you. Encourage your kids. If they're walking with God, encourage them, encourage them, encourage them. But never tell them they're strong. I know it sounds crazy. You just said, Lord, I just encourage, I appreciate you looking, keep your eyes on the Lord, and you just keep following him, you'll do just fine. You do just fine. I've seen way too many parents say, well, my kid's a strong Christian. That's a dangerous thing to say. There are no strong. Lord, is it I? It's all of us. That's who it is. It's all of us. I've told these stories before, but I'll tell them again. Some haven't heard it. I had a lady come to me some years ago when both these things happened in Maryland before we came up here. And one of our choir members, soloist, special music, came up to me one day after church, and this person said, I'm going down to the shore with so-and-so and so-and-so over the week. I won't be here next week. And I guess I knew who so-and-so and so-and-so was. And I guess my face kind of telegraphed my thoughts, my feelings. And she says, I know what you're saying, but it's okay. I know what you're saying, but I know what I'm doing. This lady that she was going to the shore with I'm not sure it's really even a good idea right there, but she was going down, and those girls were going to go out there by themselves, you know, these ladies, married ladies. Well, she was. The other gal used to be married but had left her husband. In a year and a half, this lady that I just could not believe, I always thought was just a wonderful gal, walked with God, left her husband, left her kids, just decided she had missed out on the world and she wanted to go experience it. It's okay, I'm strong, she said. It'll be okay, I'm strong. I had a lady come into my office years ago. And we've been talking about this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for thou God shall make the way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. I had a lady come into my office for counseling one time. Her and her husband, she said, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but it just things just aren't working right. And I said, well, okay. Have you? I mean, this is I'm not condemning. This is just the way it works. I said, have you really searched your heart? Get on your knees, really search your heart, see if there's some things, you know, that he said, no, I'm squeaky clean. I've never been squeaky clean. Amen. I mean, I've been confessed up. I've tried to be as close to the Lord as I can. But I'd be honest with you, I would never, ever, because listen, in the Old Testament, they even had a sacrifice for the unknown sin. Pick up all those pieces that I didn't even think about. That's one of the things. I mean, you know, listen, you come home and the kids think they've been good, and you know very well this was wrong and that wasn't right and this was right. They think they did just fine. And we're the same way with God. And she sat in my office and she said she was squeaky clean. This is somebody I had known, somebody who was known to be a good Christian. A year and a half later, she was left go from her job for embezzlement. That didn't happen overnight. The fact is, I'm not sure that the disciples had the right mode of thinking when they said this, but the answer really is, Lord, is it I? Could it be me? When we say I'm strong, Proverbs 16:8, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Someone who is full of pride is not humble. And someone who is prideful is trusting in himself. And God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. These disciples put themselves into position to push away the grace of God and see God resist them. On top of that, a little later on, when we see they do not bother with praying, Jesus says, pray lest you be tempted. But instead, they decide to take a nap. Instead of praying so they won't be tempted, they take a nap. Let me ask you this. If the answer is all of us, is it I? Well, it's all of us. Let me ask you, do you pray? In our passage here in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time praying, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They were just tired. Jesus was sorrowful. When he was sorrowful, you know what he did? He went to prayer. When the disciples were sorrowful, they went to sleep. Luke 22, 45 gives this account. And when he rose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Lord, is it I? Yeah, it's me. And I better be praying. I better be relying on the Lord. I better be turning myself, or I better keep myself watching and praying. Watching and praying. Paying attention to the fact that I'm going to hold on to God so I don't do something crazy. So I don't do something stupid. Lord, listen, keep me from this presumptuous sin so that I don't commit the great transgression. Lord, is it I? Yes, it's I. The flesh is weak. You know what? They meant well, but they didn't act on their faith. You say, well, what do you mean? The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. If they had faith, where should they have gone for the power to overcome the temptation? Prayer. They should have realized that the flesh is weak and prayed that God would strengthen them through the spirit. See, the flesh can't fight the battle. Man does not conquer sin and the world and the devil with determination of the flesh. Lord, it is I, for me, in me dwelleth no good thing. That is in my flesh. All will be tribulation. You're going to be scattered. Lord, is it me? Yes. Yes. But what if the spirit was strong? What if we were strong in the spirit? The flesh is always weak. The flesh is always weak. Listen, that's why old Satan comes and gets us at the flesh. That's our buttons. He pushes those, and then we try to fight flesh with flesh, and it never works because the flesh is too weak. You have to fight the spiritual warfare. They should have realized that the flesh is weak. Man does not conquer sin by the flesh. Our flesh lies to us. I still think I'm 25, but my flesh is lying to me. That's too fun. That's not that funny. Now, come on. Lord, is it I? Yes, it's me. Who's going to be the greatest? I'll serve the Lord. I'm the one that's going to do it. I'll do it. If anybody's going to stand for Jesus, I'm going to. Now, in some ways, that should be a determination, but not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Third point I want you to understand here, I want you to think about. I'm sure they meant every word of this commitment when they said it. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. I think they meant it. And I think sometimes we mean it. We'll say those kind of things. The problem is that they only conferred with the flesh. And the flesh said, go for it. You can do it. You love him, don't you? So you'll make it happen. The problem is that they did not thoroughly search their heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God, the Lord, knows our heart. They said, somebody in here, listen, you're all going to be scattered. They argued with the Lord who knows the heart. Oh, no, we're not going to get away. We're right there with you. They're trying to convince God, who knows the depths of their heart, of what their heart is saying, when the fact is our heart's deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not us. He knows it. God searches the heart. Listen, sometimes the Bible, we have preaching, we have Sunday school lesson, you have somewhere in your own personal Bible study, and the Lord convicts your heart about something. And you said, Lord, is it I? Could be me. Well, who else is in here? I'm talking to you. Well, it can't be me. Don't argue with the Lord. Well, I'm strong. I'd never do that. There's a lot of men who've lost their families, their wives and their children and their family, who said they'd never do that. A lot of kids have got messed up with drugs. Even though when they were little, they said, I'd never do that. That's so stupid. We need to watch and pray now to make sure we're ready where we're supposed to be. Ladies, you're not off the hook either. There's things, I don't know what it might be. I'm not a lady. But some things we said, I'd never do. It couldn't be me. But it is. Number four, next point. God knows we're just flesh. Now, there's two things. Because he knows we're just flesh, he warns us. He encourages us to stay in the book, stay on our knees. But because he knows we're just flesh and he knows we're going to fail, he's also ready to forgive. Psalm 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and is gone. The place shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and is righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. Listen. I have not found, maybe I'm wrong, anywhere in the Bible, that after Jesus was risen again, he came back and said, you bunch of chickens, you ran off on me. You bunch of turncoats, I told you, things got a little tough and off you go. I don't see him doing that. In fact, he rose again and told Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples, and Peter. Make sure Peter knows too. We might have had some time in our life where we said, the Lord said, I wouldn't do that. And the flesh got the best of us, and the spirit was weak, and we fell. The Lord knows our frame. As a father pities his children, he says, I told you, come on. Let's learn from this. Oh, Peter, you know, he really talks big. We give Peter a hard time. Peter walked on water. And we criticize for Peter for getting his eyes off the Lord and onto the circumstances and the waves and going under. The rest of the disciples didn't go under the water because the rest of the disciples didn't get out of the boat. They didn't have enough nerve. At least it never crossed their minds to even ask Jesus to bid them come out of the water. Peter was the only one that stepped out on the water by faith. And Peter did walk on water, at least for a little while. We criticize Peter for denying Jesus. Now think about this. Except for John, all the other disciples scattered and were not close enough to Jesus for someone to make the connection and associate him with Jesus. But Peter followed afar off to see the end of it. We give him a hard time. The fact is, he went. He was closer than the rest of the bunch except for John. John was nearby, but where were the others? He at least followed Jesus afar off. You know, we have to admit that it is I. John 21:13, Jesus cometh and taketh bread. He's risen again now. And giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself. It says in John 21:13, 14. He showed himself after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now, you've heard me do this before, and this is true. Just let me remind you. There are several words in Greek for love. Eros is that physical love between a man and a woman. But there's phileo love, like Philadelphia, brotherly love. Very much affection. Philadelphia, amen. Brotherly love, affection for that person, an admiration for the person. And then there's agape love. Agape love means you may not even like the person, but you love the person. You will put yourself out for that person. You're willing to give if you get nothing back. You're willing to love if they never love you back. It's unconditional, never stops. That kind of love, Bible says, never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. That's agape love. So when Jesus came to Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you agape love me more than these? And he said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm very fond of thee, phileo. And he said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? You have godly love for me? And again he said to him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, Feed my sheep. Yeah, you know I'm very fond of thee, phileo. And Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, you're fond of me, aren't you? You phileo me. The Bible says Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time he said, you're fond of me. You don't necessarily love me unconditionally, do you? You're not ready to go down to the grave with me yet, are you? It says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, you like me, don't you, Peter? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. He learned his lesson. Now, wait a minute. Peter's about to do great and mighty things. Now, when he failed Jesus, he said, Lord, is it I? I wouldn't do that. Oh, my soul, I wouldn't do that. Listen, I'm with you all the way. And he said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you. You know what? Before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to fail, Peter. But that's when Peter said, I can do this. It's time for Jesus to be ascended. And he says, Peter, you love me, right? You know I'm really fond of you. Go ahead and feed my sheep. I can use you. You love me, right? Well, you know I'm real fond of you. He said, you're on my side and you're fond of me, but as far as it goes, isn't it? Like Peter said, you know, I got to be honest. I don't know. I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could die for you. When you, Lord said, it's going to be somebody. In fact, it's, you know what? Probably going to be me. It's probably going to be me. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you because you know all things. Jesus said, okay, feed my sheep. Lord, you know my heart and that my heart is not what it needs to be. He goes on, listen. Jesus says, verily, verily, says, I'm going to tell you the truth, Peter. Listen to me. When you were young, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, you dressed yourself, and you walked whithersoever thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this to unto him, he said, follow me. Peter, you may not be where you need to be, but one day you will be, because now you know it's you. See, until we realize it's me, we're going to do this in the flesh and we're going to fail. But once we realize, Lord, it is I, then he has a tool and a vessel he can use. He says, listen, you stick with me and I'll stick with you, Lord saying, doubts and all. I'll mold you into one that I have called you to be. And most of all, realize who and what you are, and I can work with that. See, if you're not willing to admit what you are, I can't work with that. But once you admit, open, transparent, you find yourself, I could be the one. I can work with that. Until you confess what you are, and I can only resist you. But if you humble yourself, I can give you grace. God knows we're just flesh. But we need to realize it too. And so when the question arises, one of you is going to fail me. Instead of the question, Lord, is it I? The answer is, it's me. I know. But if you know, then we can make it through. Lord, it's me. Fathers, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Lord, I pray you do a work in our hearts. Lord, it's me. It's all of us. All of us. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Stand.